Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
That lick there, but I kind of catch that when it blows. It's a good sound. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. On Memorial Day weekend, when all the backslidden saints are out camping somewhere, all us righteous ones are in the house of God. I'm sorry. That was uncalled for, wasn't it? It's good to be in God's house. Whoa. And to worship Him and magnify the name of Jesus. You can tell I'm pausing for effect, can't you? While the... Cool. That's awesome, isn't it? You know, we ought to thank God every day that we got little runts running around this church. And amen, making a lot of noise on their way back to kids' church. That sounds like enthusiasm to me, doesn't you? I'm all for being enthusiastic about the things of the Lord. This is our Memorial Day service. I hereby declare it that. How's that? This is Memorial Weekend. And to me, it's one of the most important days that we observe. 4th of July is another one. If you are an American, a lover of this land, then you know where our sentiments are in those areas. And we want to share a little bit with you about responsibility, about the power that comes to us and to our nation by the very act of remembering those who have laid down their lives for the liberty of and the freedom of this country. Amen? And I hope I'm not going to divert us from the true and full message of the power that comes from remembering who Jesus Christ is in our lives. I think they're interconnected. I think this great land was established and built on biblical Judeo-Christian values. I disagree with those who try to assess that many of the founding fathers were other than Christian. Many of them have been ascribed the title of deist. I disagree with a lot of that because you can read a lot of the Jefferson's writings and many of the other early founders, and you'll discover that they gave great great trust and faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Savior. In fact, we need to not rewrite history, but reread it and recognize that our founding fathers. Did you know that in the First Continental Congress, they prayed for nearly 4 or 5 hours before they met? That doesn't sound like a deist to me. That sounds like somebody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And so we in this church like to remember the things that I think that are most important. One of the tragedies of our time is that we have become so affluent that we have become lazy and apathetic concerning the things that are really most important and valuable to this nation and to us as individuals. One of the things, I'm going to read a little story here for you in the book of 1 Samuel. You'll all remember it. If you ever went to Sunday school, you will have heard this story, and it's a good story. It's in the 17th chapter of Samuel. And I'm reading this story because the individual illustrates what I want to share with you today. And by remembering this story, I think we're activating some of the power that comes from us remembering. Now, this holiday, if you'll remember, began back in the Civil War times, or immediately following the Civil War, when a Major General John Logan kind of took it upon himself to establish a day of decorating the graves of the fallen Union and Confederate soldiers. And they did so at the Arlington National Cemetery. They had a whole army march around, and kids ran around, and they were throwing flowers over all of the graves, and it was a great celebration and memory. And so that kind of started the ball rolling, and eventually Congress and the President of the United States made this a decree and made it a national holiday. And I think that's important to remember that. And not just from the Civil War on, because even in the Revolutionary War, men fell and shed their blood for the freedom and the nation that grew out of that sacrifice. But I want to read a story in the Old Testament, because the story illustrates some of what I want to share with you this morning, because I think it's almost become a custom in our land, and you can see by looking around at many of the empty seats we have this morning, that holidays, whether they are three-day holidays or week-long holidays or whatever they might be, it's almost become our custom to use those opportunities, you know, to have fun and family and all those things, which I think there's nothing at all wrong with that. Unless you forget what the holiday was established for. You see, it's great to celebrate Easter and Christmas and 4th of July and even Memorial Day if we remember what the meaning is behind those celebrations. And so that's part of what I want to share with you a little bit this morning, because I think we have, especially in our time, a responsibility and an opportunity to stand for freedom as we never have before. And I think by the fact that we stop and pause this day to remember those who have paid the ultimate price, we look beyond this from being a holiday to a time when we remember the meaning and the full purpose of the holiday. Men and women who fell in war shed their blood so that you and I can enjoy this very freedom right here, the freedom to worship your God without harassment from the government. Well, there are nations, I know you don't realize this, but maybe you do, but you probably haven't experienced it, have been in a country where you can't do this. More than two or three people gathering in an assembly is a threat to the government, and so they squelch that. And that's why in many countries, the church, the Christian church, is underground, because they're forced there by the governments. And look at you this morning. Unless you were one of the ones that were forced here by your parents, you came here of your own free will. And that is, you're to be commended for that, of course, but especially this day, we want to take pause and remember the value of the freedom that we're enjoying this very morning. You are free to raise your hands and worship the King. You're free to applaud, give applaud to the King as you worship. You're free to come up here for prayer and pray for your needs. You're free to do all those things in this service. Isn't that an awesome freedom? And those things are secured for us in every battlefield that our nation has ever fought in. And I am grateful for those who have paid that sacrifice. And I think there's power that comes to us and power that comes to this nation if we remember the meaning of every drop that has been shed. Amen. Let me read for you. It's a little lengthy, but you've got time. Amen. You've got all weekend. I want to read the 37th verse of the 17th chapter, and then I'm going to skip down to the 40th and read on from there. In the 37th verse, this is David speaking in response to Saul, but David said, moreover, in reference to, does everybody know the story of David and Goliath? That's where we're going this morning. Goliath, I don't know if you know what warfare was like in the old days. It wasn't all just armies marching and, you know, like you've seen William Wallace, and you've seen where they all armies just run and clash into each other and all that. A lot of times warfare was not fought that way. A lot of times they would just send a champion out. And each army would send a champion out, and they'd fight for the day or fight for that particular fight, and whoever won was the champion for the day. And so wars went on for a long time. They went on for less time when they clashed like you see on television and on movies. But interestingly enough, a challenger goes out, and his name was Goliath of the Philistines. We had no champion. The Israelites had no champion to send out. Nobody was brave enough to go up against this guy. Well, think about it. I don't know what the consensus of the size of the Israelites were at that time, but Goliath was a monster. And I don't know about you, but when you walk up and you see a guy that's like twice as big as you, you kind of tend to think, well, this guy can take me. Amen? And so consequently, none of the Israelites, not David's brothers, not anybody, not even Saul the king himself, would go out and challenge the challenger. And so the challenger would come out and mock them every day, and that's what Goliath did. He'd come out and mock them and curse their God and do all kinds of things that were to mock the Israeli army. But listen to what David says. David sees all this, and here's his response. And David said, moreover, in the 37th verse, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Now, there's some confidence, don't you think? There's some bravery being spoken about. Now, one of the things that I admire about military people that I can't say I admire about anyone else, I admire them that they're willing to take a challenge, willingly take a challenge, face it regardless of what the outcome is. They may die or they may not. They may be victorious. Their intention is to be victorious. But regardless of what happens, they accept the challenge. There's a quality there that I'm not sure I possess. I like to think I have that ability. If I'm challenged for Jesus Christ and I'm threatened for my faith, that I'll be the great and loyal martyr that goes to his death gladly because he's doing it for Jesus. I'd love to think I would do that. But I've never had a gun put to my head. I had a guy want to hit me with a bottle one day because I was street witnessing in Fresno, California, but he never really swung. So I never shed blood, you know. So can you imagine the joy I may have had? Oh, I went back to church. Just I'd have left it, let it bleed. Let the scar bleed, man. I did this for Jesus, you know. But it never happened, you know. So you get all these fantasies and these ideas, but you never know until you face the challenge how you are going to respond. And by the way, may I just give you a little side note about that. There are many challenges that you will face in life. You don't know how to face them till you face them. But until then, what is God doing in your life? He's preparing you for the challenges you are going to face in your life. So all those little irritations, those little trials, those little foxes nibbling at your heels, little docks and dogs that sneak up and bite you when you come to my house, all of those little trials that you go through are really God preparing you inwardly, character-wise, building values and things that are important to life. See, one of the other things that I admire about military people, they are taught and learn early that there are some things greater than my life. One of the saddest things that's happening to our country, I'll get to scripture in just a second, that's happening to our people is that we have been almost indoctrinated to be self-centered. That the world revolves around me, my needs. You have volumes of library books filled with self-esteem and how to be successful and all of these things, all focused on you, focusing on yourself. You know what? I think Jesus taught it is not that way in the kingdom. And it shouldn't be that way in life. We should not be thinking solely of our need. For there are things that are more important than we. There are ideals. There are ideals in this country that are worth laying your life down for. There are principles in life, and there are other people in life that call us to a higher calling than ourselves. Of course we understand that because we love God. And God calls us to a higher standard, to believe in Him, to accept His Son, to live out our lives as Christian people. That's the calling of God. So we understand that higher, something bigger than us and higher than us. We understand that. But when it comes to ideals and convictions and principles about liberty and about freedom, we must realize as a people that there are things more important than ourselves, and that everything we must do is to preserve liberty and freedom that we enjoy this morning requires that we think beyond our immediate self and realize that there are things that are higher than us and more important than us. I don't think you'd have a problem convincing a mother when her children are threatened that she must do something to protect her children. Nor should you be surprised when men go to war to fight for principles that threaten the very liberties that we enjoy. Of course you understand that. Because we understand somewhere in our hearts that there are things that are greater than we. Let me read the rest of the story, only for your benefit of hearing the outcome. I want to read it from verse 40. On for a little ways. And he took his staff in his hand. He chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip. and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. He's just a punk. That's what he's saying. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Don't you love the King James Bible? Hey, you don't get this. You read any other version, you're not going to get this kind of cool language. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, folks, this is something you should probably write down on your arm somewhere and read it on occasion. Or if you read your Bible frequently, read this occasionally, just to listen to how this man responds to the enemy of his people. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He hasn't defied David. You see where the focus is placed? He's defied God. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God, capital G, in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by sword, nor not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Well, now, up to this point, there hadn't been anybody brave enough to even talk like this. So God could not respond because there were none that really believed that God would deliver him. And David stands there as a proclaimer of that faith. Verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army of the Philistines. This guy's just in the way. He's on his way to the rest of the army, and this giant is just in his way. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. We don't use cool words like that anymore. And he slang it and he smote. Man, I love that. And the Philistine smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face on the earth. And so David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine. That's about as John Wayne-ish as you're going to get. And he took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fleeth. They fled. Is that not that has got to be one of the coolest stories in the Bible. You know, and oh, by the way, David didn't kill him with the stone. He just knocked him on his face and then slew him with the sword and cut off his head. Folks, that may be a little gruesome for Sunday morning. Maybe you haven't eaten lunch yet or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, we're talking about somebody that believed, and this is the great thing that I think about David. He believed in something, a power, a person greater than himself. And the cause was the same cause of he who was greater than David. David knew that when he stood against the armies of Israel, he was standing against the armies that were against God himself as well. I find that very fascinating. I find that very interesting that more and more Christian people don't use this very same tactic when they face personal tests and trials. There are lots of Goliaths that challenge us. One of the things I think that we need to remember on this day, because I think there's power in remembering. I realize that this holiday has expanded to include decorating family members that have passed on, as well as military individuals that have laid down their life for us. But there's some things that we need to realize about this holiday. It's similar in a lot of ways to Oriental religions, because in the Orient, there is a religion that actually so honors the ancestors that they actually worship their ancestors. It's a giving of praise and adoration and thanksgiving to dead ancestors. So there's something innately in the part of people. I'm not criticizing the religion. I don't agree with it, but because I believe in Jesus Christ. But there's something, I think, innately in us that reaches out to make contact with those values and those principles that are higher than ourselves. And nothing represents those principles in a higher, more honorable way than those of our military that have laid down their lives in various conflicts to preserve the liberties that we are enjoying this morning. I think it's important, even though some of us don't celebrate it like we should. Yeah, I'm going to give you an example. Then this is why maybe I'm ranting a little bit about this. I didn't make it to the parade this year, but I've been to almost every parade we've had in Zilla. No parade in Zilla begins without the presentation of the colors. And usually it's either VFW or it's American Legion or one of the representative groups of the military that becomes the honor guard, and they head the parade with the honor guard. Have you ever seen that? You know what I'm talking about. And these soldiers, it's usually a representative from the conflicts, if we have them. Not too many Civil War guys around anymore. And the World War II guys and World War I guys are starting to fade on us also. But we have the Vietnam vets and the Korean vets that are still kind of around and stuff. But so they try to have a representative from each conflict. You know that, don't you? So they like to have a representative from the, you know, Korean War, the World War II one, if they can find them, or whatever, even Afghanistan, Iraq, all that. They try to have a representative so that when the colors are addressed and they head the parade, everyone is kind of represented, and all branches of the armed forces is represented if they can possibly do that. I've been at the parade and I've watched because it's always a cool thing for me. Now, I'm prejudiced because I was raised in a military family. My father was a military man, a long-term career military man, and loved this nation and loved his service. He loved serving in the Navy. And didn't tell me a whole lot about these different conflicts, but he told me about all the cool things that went on when he was in the Navy. One time they were on board ship, and it was hot day, summer day. They're out in the Pacific, and the captain said, well, let's stop the, I was going to say boat, but I would have been slapped by my dad by saying that, because it's not a boat, it's a ship. At any rate, they stopped the ship. And I don't know about you, but I didn't understand that, but he explained it to me, that when you stop a ship in the middle of the ocean after it's been churning away, it doesn't just stop. You don't just push on the brake and stop the ship. You follow what I'm saying? So they thought that, because you can't tell how much motion it has on the water when you're coming to a stop. And so guys started diving off the deck into the ocean, and the ship just kept going. It was coasting. And they had men strung out for about 3 miles. And my dad was one of those guys out there floating, waiting for the ship to come back and get them, because they were strung out so far. And so he'd tell me all these kinds of stories. And I just loved those military stories. And I wanted to be a military pilot. I wanted to be a Naval Air Force pilot when I was growing up. So I, you know, did all the hard work in school and all those kinds of things, and they had a high standard. I wanted to be commissioned at Annapolis and so forth. But that takes a lot of political clout and stuff like that. And an old CB doesn't have that kind of political clout. But at any rate, that's what I desired to be at one time. And so I have a great love for the military. Although I did not serve, I went into the ministry during our conflict, which was the Vietnam War. But I say all that just to share with you that I have a deep love and appreciation for the men and women who serve our nation in the military, because they do it selfishly and they do it for a high reason and a high principle and a high cause. I think that illustrates, I think, more than just the character of the man and the woman that serve, although that does say a lot for them, but it says a lot about our nation. We've been accused of a lot of things, of being imperialists. You know what an imperialist is? It's like. Are you still with me? It's like England. I know sometimes you go to sleep when the colors go away. So it's like in England, you know, they went and colonized all over the world, you know, India and everywhere. They had colonies everywhere in the Caribbean, everywhere they had colonies. That's imperialism, when you go take over a land and you occupy it like you own it. The United States has never done that. We've never occupied. Well, I guess you kind of call it occupying if you've been in Korea at the demilitarized zone for 50 years. I guess that might be occupying, but we don't run their country. We don't do that. We do that for defense. But what bothers me, because I have such a love for these men and women and for their commitment and for the liberty this land has given me, I don't take it lightly that when I'm standing observing a parade, my wife knows this, when those colors go by, I was not in the military, so I don't have the right to salute. But I better put my hand over my heart when those colors go by. And what saddens me, I see adult people while the parade colors are going by, stand there with their hats on, slouching by, just kind of watching them go by, and not one of them putting their hand over their heart. That offends me. It offends me, and I was never in the military. It offends me because I'm offended for my father and the 25 years that he was in the military. It offends me when people do not respect this land or the flag that represents this land. I'm sorry. I can almost be an unchristian when those things happen. Because they're not only an insult. Let me tell you what it is. It's not only an insult to that flag that is a representation of this great land that has helped so many throughout the history of its military conflicts to free people and then help rebuild their land even when we conquer them. It has done so much, it offends me. And more than that, it offends those who have died and paid the ultimate price. I don't think you have the right to offend those who spilled their blood for this land. And so it bothers me when I see and it kind of bothers me on this day, not on necessarily on other. I know family and all of that kind of stuff, and I know family camping and all that. I understand all that. I'm not against all fun and all that. I'm only upset that they didn't invite me to go with them. That's the main problem. But we're becoming so apathetic about our liberty that I'm beginning to wonder if we have the right to expect the freedoms that we so often take for granted. The value of liberty. I want to read something for you if I can. And I went on the internet trying to find, can I be honest with you? I went on the internet to find some great Memorial Day quote by John Wayne. But I couldn't find one. And I know he had some, because I've even showed you a clip here that was a Memorial Day kind of clip that he spoke great things about this land. But I found one that I want to read for you. And I think this is the attitude we all must take today. There comes a time when the enemies of our freedom are not always foreign, but they might be domestic. And when you pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the United States, and pledge to defend the Constitution of the United States, you defend it also against all enemies, foreign and domestic. One of the things that we need to understand, first of all, is the value of our liberty. I want to read this because I admire this man for a lot of reasons. And folks, let me tell you something. There's not a perfect individual that walks this planet anymore. One day he will walk it again, but he doesn't walk it now in the flesh. And so there's no perfect men, but that does not mean that we cannot have great ideals and great principles that we stand for. We, by our weaknesses, only illustrate the fact that we need a redeemer and we need a higher being in our lives. Amen? And so this man you may not have a lot of respect for because of certain things that came out about his life after he was passed away. But I remember where I was when this man was assassinated sitting in my classroom, and we heard over the loudspeaker that President John F. Kennedy had been assassinated in Dallas. We were devastated. I'm just a young person, 63, I was 13 years old. I was devastated that our president had been assassinated. Nobody believed it. At first, we'd hoped that it was just, you know, a premature announcement and that maybe he'd just been wounded and he would survive, but the kind of wound that he suffered was not a survivable wound. And we were devastated, literally shed tears in our classroom for John Fitzgerald Kennedy. We loved the man. We loved our president. Was he a perfect man, perfect president? No. But did he stand for right principles and good things? Yes. This is what he said about freedom and about liberty. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. I know we think of it most of all, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Both sentiments are exactly connected, I think, in many ways, because there is a great desire on the part of American people for all men to live in liberty, the liberty that we enjoy. But we have challenges. We have Goliaths that are facing us today as a nation. We have national debt that is beyond comprehension. You could not count to this number. If you lived 100 years, you could not count to that number. We have other challenges that are facing our personal liberties that you and I don't even realize the full impact of yet. So what we must do is have something higher than ourselves to call upon and to depend upon and to live for and to have meaning in our lives. Liberty needs to have impact. And by remembering the dead, those who have paid the price, helps us to understand the value of our liberty, lest those drops be dropped in vain, unless they died for no reason. We owe them more honor than that. Are you still with me? Whatever the cost, it's worth it. Every drop of blood shed in defense of liberty should be honored for the sacrifice and the reason that it was shed, and that reason is freedom. The value of liberty is assessed by the recipients and how they appreciate and how they personally commit to the preservation of all freedom and all liberty for all generations that they might benefit from our commitment. We have a responsibility to liberty and to freedom. For us to remember, we must remember the cost, the importance of those who have laid down their lives and paid the ultimate price for us. And let me tell you what I think we should be aware of. The end result of David's conflict with a challenge or a challenger is that David was victorious. He was victorious because he trusted in something, someone greater than himself. Second of all, he trusted in his personal experience. He had been challenged by a lion. He had been challenged by a bear. And the God that had delivered him from the paws of both those animals was certainly capable of delivering him from this challenger. And third of all, he was able to face this challenge and defeat this and be victorious because he knew the God of Israel would not forsake his word to the children of Israel. Whatever God promises, God will do. Whatever he's promised you in your personal life, you faithful to him, you're confident in him, you trust in him, he will give you the promise. If we trust God for our freedom, we will have freedom. If we trust men like a president, a Congress, and a Senate, and a Supreme Court, we will be disillusioned. If we forsake our God, we will forsake liberty and freedom. This is what I think we need to be. Two things. One, we need to be aware. We need to be aware that freedom has enemies, that there are challengers, and there are those who would love to take those freedoms from us and have control over us and tell us what to do in every area of our lives. I saw a television report on the Fox News. It wasn't too long ago. I think it was O'Reilly. Has anybody ever watched that Irishman? The Irish aren't all bad. But I'm watching this interview. I think it was on O'Reilly. They're interviewing this lady from California. Who would even suspect? California. Lady from California that was upset, and she was running a petition or getting together a group of people in her hometown to force McDonald's. Now, I don't go to McDonald's personally. And the reason I don't go to McDonald's is because they support the gay business, the business association thing or something. Better Business Bureau. Why don't you guys think of that for me? I had to think about that. Made my brain hurt to think that. Because they joined the Gay Better Business Bureau. So that's why I don't go to McDonald's. And hey, I like their fish fillet. You know, fillet of fish thing? I like that. I like their little breakfast hash browns. But I don't eat them. Because I stand on a principle. I'm just not going to support someone who supports something I don't believe in. I'm sorry. And I may be supporting something, but I don't know it yet. Once I know it, then I don't do it. And I don't go to McDonald's. But those of you who do, she's trying in her hometown or whatever, in the whole state or the whole union, I guess, if she wants or can. Her problem is that she wants McDonald's to stop putting toys in their Happy Meals. I'm almost speechless at how moronic and stupid that is. If I was going to go to McDonald's ever again, it would be get the Happy Meal to get the toy. Now, think of this. Her argument is that her kids want to go there, and this advertisement unfairly targets these children to come in and buy their products. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm slugging the television, and I'm kicking the couch, and I'm screaming, just don't go to McDonald's. You have liberty. You have freedom. You have choice. Just don't go. You know what her answer to that was? Don't you know about child pressure and peer pressure? Are we so weak in this nation? Are we so spineless in this nation that we cannot stand against McDonald's Happy Meals? There are enemies in this land, and I think she's one of them. But we need to be aware. I know that really sounds comical and facetious, but let me tell you something. People that want to tell you how to live have to take your freedoms away to make you do it. Now, this may be a frivolous story to me, but it's a symptom of the problem in our land. The problem is somebody wants to tell me how to live my life. That has no business telling me what to do whatsoever. If we are a free people, if the Constitution is still the law of the land, and not just a convenience when we need it, then somebody ought to stand up and say, hey, mind your own stinking business. Amen. I might have gotten carried away there. If I have, I apologize. But we need to be aware where our enemies lie. They're not just foreign enemies. We have enemies that desire to destroy this land from within, which is the only way you will destroy this land. Because our military is the might of the envy of all militaries. Man, if you don't have the military channel, you need to get it. They have some of the coolest weapons in the world. Awesome. We need to be aware. We need to be aware that we are being challenged daily and that this battle is one that's for our very own survival. And the second thing, maybe one of the most important things is, in reference to our responsibility to liberty, is to be active. Do something for your freedom. I didn't serve in the military, but I try to set people free through Jesus Christ. It may not be the same war, but it has the same intention, to help men remain free. Free from sin, free from the consequences. But I also am involved in civic things and doing things for our communities, which I think is also standing up for freedom. And frankly, when I go to the polls and I vote, I'm doing something for freedom. When I support candidates that believe the same way I do, I'm being active and I'm doing something for freedom. The enemies of this land are not idle. They don't wait for us to do something to react to it. They are constantly vigilant to promote their cause and their efforts to destroy this land. And all under the guise of freedom, too. That's an interesting point, too. And the other thing is, you need to be vocal. You need to do a lot of things to be active. And you can jump for every cause you want to jump for. I don't care what cause you do, as long as it's for freedom and for liberty. But you need to be vocal about your views. You know, one of the things that an enemy that challenges is tries to shut you up. Did you know that? If he can keep you from saying things that challenge them, or to be able to challenge them based on facts rather than feelings. Facts, I said, rather than feelings. They can't argue in the arena of ideas. The enemies of our liberty are vacant in ideas. They have to get their agenda across through the courts and through pressure enforced by city or governmental policy. They can't do it by arguing or debating in the arena of ideas. They have to do it by force. And so you and I need to be vocal. Don't let anybody shut you up in proclaiming your freedom. You need to get involved. You need to be vocal, and you need to be doing something for your freedom. I think our freedom in this land, and you and I as Christian people, ultimately comes through the blessings of God. I think the rights that human beings have, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and all the Bill of Rights, these rights are not given to us by the federal government. These rights are not given to us by the state government. The rights we have as an American citizen are not given to us by county government. The rights we have as citizens are not given to us by city governments. The rights we have are innately ours because God gives us these freedoms. Are you still with me? But I think it's really this idea of remembering those who have paid the ultimate price and to honor the dead that have gone before us, who have secured our freedoms for us, is rooted in Jesus Christ. Just think about his story. Just think about the story of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed his blood. He laid down his life for your freedom and my freedom, spiritual freedom. We are now at liberty in Jesus Christ. It's rooted. Our freedoms are rooted in the God-given rights and the salvation and redemption that he offers us through the person of Jesus Christ, who once said, let me kind of paraphrase it, no greater love has any mortal man, let me add a little to it, than to lay down his life for a friend. There is no measure greater than laying your life down for someone else's benefit. which is exactly what Jesus did, exactly what our Savior did. We oftentimes want to keep that in the context of just a religious thing, a Bible thing, a churchy thing. But the truth of the matter is, it is life. It is exactly what God has given us. Freedom. Human freedom. Human rights. Liberty. Even those who have been enslaved long for freedom. I don't know about you, but when I was lost in sin, Jesus took me in. You know, the old gospel hymn. When I was lost in sin, Jesus took me in and cleaned me up and did whatever he did to me. One of the things I first realized is all the things that I had been bound with, I had been enslaved to, now no longer had any impact or control over my life. I was free. I was free to do anything I wanted to in Christ. I could worship God all I wanted to. Nobody can stop me. I can magnify the King. I can celebrate Jesus Christ, and nobody can stop me. I can glorify the name of Jesus. I can sing praises to his name, and nobody can stop me. Nobody can stop me. I realized that I was free to do all the good things I wanted to do because nobody can stop you from doing good. Let me tell you something. We have liberty in Christ that is mirrored in the liberties you have in this land. You can, nobody stops you at the border of Dakota, keeps you from coming into Dakota. You can go there. I can go, I actually went there to New York City. They don't make good picante sauce, I'll tell you that. Get a rope. I'm sorry. That was not good, was it? And so what excites me about Memorial Day is that there's going to be a day tomorrow when you're probably going to go and visit your families, that members that have passed away and so forth. And I'm thinking, where's Debbie at? Maybe she can confirm that. But I'm thinking that they'll have some form of memorial service at the military cemetery in Tacoma. They'll have some kind of recognition. And we've done it here in Zilla. Debbie would be able to tell us whether or not they're doing it here in Zilla. I spoke at it, I think it was last year or the year before I spoke at the last memorial, at the flag at the cemetery. It would not hurt you to go and observe and take part in some memorial service. They had a parade in Yakima, was it on Saturday, I think, 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. That's past, of course. But other things that you can do, whenever you see a military person, tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much you appreciate their sacrifice and their commitment to this land. We're going to have a prayer for our military in just about 1 minute as I conclude the service. But I wanted you to realize how important it is to believe in something bigger than yourself. Men are willing to die for things that are bigger than themselves. Liberty is worth every sacrifice you and I can make. And the least we can do is honor those who are currently serving and honor those who have passed or laid their lives down in some conflict for this land. Do you agree with that? It's rooted in our honoring of Jesus Christ. In fact, we honor the blood of Jesus Christ so much that we believe that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that sets us free. We believe it's the blood of Jesus Christ that heals us. We believe that the stripes on his back were for our infirmities. We believe all those things about Jesus Christ's personal sacrifice. And that's why it makes it easier for me to understand how to appreciate the greatness of this land. God, don't let us lose this freedom to discover how valuable it is. So every sacrifice is worth it. So if you run into some guys, and I shared this last Memorial Day, so let me share it one more time and bore you again as I close and we about have a prayer. I was at a restaurant on North 1st Street in Yakima, and some soldiers from the firing center were in there having breakfast, and Denny and I were on the other side of this window, and they were sitting over there. And I asked my waitress to come over, and I said, thought I was going to do a noble gesture, you know what I mean? And I was humbled. I was humbled by this. And I asked her to come over. I said, are you serving those military men? She said, yeah, I am. I said, would you mind putting their tab on my ticket? And she looked at me, not surprised. She looked at me and said, you know, I'd love to do that, but somebody else has already paid for it. Yeah. Amen. It just humbles you, doesn't it? I wish that we would have a greater concern about getting this message of the value of liberty to our next generation. God forbid they have to fight for it as we have for years to preserve the great freedoms and liberties we have. That's why I also encourage you, go to some foreign land. Go to Canada's a good one. No threat in Canada. Just don't say certain things in Canada or you'll get a threat. They'll throw you in jail. But you need to go to some Mexico, into the Caribbean, not just for vacation. You need to go to other lands. Maybe some short-term missionary trip. So that you come back blessed for what you did and blessed because those people will bless you. But so you might also see what you possess that makes us the greatest land that has ever lived. Ever lived. Roman Empire was big. The Ming Dynasty was big. But none have been greater because we've given freedom to the citizens of this land. Not ruled them as a king or as a tyrant or a dictator. But we've given people freedom. And the people of this land have made this the greatest nation to ever live in human history. The most prosperous, the most generous, the greatest people. And what's awesome about us, it's not a great people because we're German or Irish. Or, this is a great Irish land. No. You know why God allowed whiskey to be made, don't you? So the Irish would not conquer the world. Anyway, it's not a great Irish land. It's not a great German land or Italian land. Or it's a great land because we all came together and unified and we made a great nation. All of us have sacrificed. But no greater sacrifice than those in our military who have paid sometimes the greatest sacrifice of all. Let's stand together, shall we?
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.